more dirt and Sprague.
Where are you going? And he's like, I'm going bowling. I just started laughing because I'm like, of course you're going bowling on a random Tuesday night.
Sounds like a great Tuesday night.
It's breakfast time with Dirt and Sprague.
Now, do you have your own ball?
I have two balls.
Starting your day with a big cup of dirt and a little splash of Sprague.
Your spare ball, you don't want it to hook as much, so it will go straighter. And then the strike ball, you want to be able to get some crank on that.
Heat on that.
When you hit the pocket, you get big pin action.
Well, everybody wants to hit the pocket. I mean, come on now.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. The third hour of the radio program, Dirt and Sprague here on 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Happy Friday, everybody. We're partying on here on a Friday. We've talked about a lot. We had one guest earlier, Mike Doc Parker. Hard to top a Doc Parker when he's sitting outside of a vacant restaurant in Junction City, Oregon. And we got three guests today. The second one we're awaiting, his illustrious arrival, Bill Orem of OregonLive.com, who's written a lot about, uh-oh, we're going to lose our team. They're going to relocate. Ah, everybody scream. There's a lot going on, too, around the team. Tommy Two Nickels. Giannis, is he destined to come here? Is he willing to come here? There's a lot to discuss. Plus, we've got, you know, we could check in with Orem. I imagine he's going to be covering in some capacity the Eugene Regional. It's not every year you get Oregon State in the same regional in baseball. Caitlin Clark Mania is here. She's in town. They lost to the Valkyrie last night. She was terrible in that game. Is she going to rebound and play better on Saturday? So we could talk with him about that. And we will get to the audio. The Chris Haynes audio, he's saying Giannis Antetokounmpo is willing to come to Portland, Oregon. Now, sign an extension. I don't know about that. We don't know. I don't even know if you trust it. But we can talk about that in the third hour of the radio program. You can reach the fan text line at 503-864-6326. Good morning to everybody, including Bill Orem, who is back from Carolina after talking with Caniacs as they get ready to watch their hockey team potentially punch the ticket to the Stanley Cup to dive into the Tom Dundon ownership situation in there and comp it to what's going on over here. You got a Q&A with Tom Dundon. He's been a busy man, and I'm sure he's getting ready for the Eugene Regional as well. Bill, good morning. How has life been for you, Mr. Travel Around the World?
I've been doing really, really well. I've got some hot coffee here in front of me. I think the sun's going to peek out here a little bit later. Good weekend ahead. Baseball, basketball, sports.
Okay. Nice coffee. Just going to keep not rescheduling our coffee date, or what are we doing there? It's a little awkward here.
Well, we schedule coffee and then you say insulting things, and so then I have to take a break from you for a while.
Whoa, hold on. No, a challenge flag. What did I say that could possibly be insulting? I did not name you, by the way. Of the two people on the show, my co-host is out. I am not the one that named you Mr. Move the Team. My co-host did that because you keep telling us that we're losing our team and you're scaring the living hell out of people.
Well, maybe eventually having the living hell scared out of you will move people to understand what is actually happening rather than burying their heads in the sand about it. But, I mean, that's up to you. I mean, if I have to be Mr. Move the Team and I have to be the boogeyman or the bad guy on this, so be it. But I'm not going to sit on credible information of what's happening. Yeah. Like, I have a job to do.
I think it's very interesting, that situation between the city council, because we know they're going to get the funding in one end. And I read your Q&A with Dundon, which was really good. And here's where I sit with it is, like, he is just in no way indicated, even like in a weird answer way, that relocation is a possibility. I don't even think he's panicked about it. I think he feels he's going to get the funding, so it's not really much of a story for him. And I understand your side of it, what you're saying with certain city council members. You've gotten into it. They've called you out. But ultimately, like, the pressure and the real movers and shakers in the state, they're going to make them give the money. Like, I don't know if I'm in the camp of, like, worried about it.
Okay.
Oh, that's it? You are? You're still worried about it?
Why would I have spent the last 4 months of my life, Brandon? Like, why would I be using my platform and my voice and my spending time on my career and using my credibility to say that this is a real concern if it was BS? Like, why would I do that?
Well, I don't think you would BS. I think you're reporting what you're hearing.
Like, who do you think I am? There is genuine fear at the top of every pillar of government, the state, the city, the county, that this deal could not get done. And then the question is, if the deal doesn't get done, what is the consequence of that? Those are the only two questions. Is the deal going to get done? And if it doesn't, what happens? Is the deal going to get done? I do not know. I don't have the same confidence you do. Because I've talked to so many people about this, and there's absolutely no person in who actually has any influence or power who expresses the same level of casual confidence that you just did. Not one person in the city of Portland or state of Oregon who operates in City Hall, Multnomah County, or the state of Oregon. It doesn't exist because the votes aren't there right now. And that doesn't mean that they won't come. Mm-hmm. They could, but they're not there right now. And you have a really tight timeline where this needs to happen in the next couple of months, or a lot of things start happening where you don't get the funding in time to do renovations for next summer. So the timeline is blown. You already have Tom Dundon having been rejected by the city of Portland once, and a clear path for him to say, we tried, they didn't want us, now we have to see what else is out there. Like, that is the path that I see happening. The fact that Tom Dundon hasn't directly threatened relocation is so what? Like, by the time that he says something that threatens relocation, it's too late. You don't think he said anything that nodded or winked at it? How about when he said in the Q&A that you read, mm-hmm. when he was asked if he, when I asked him about city councilors, you know, wanting to make changes on what he views as a done deal, and he said, well, if they want to make changes, we're going to have to take a step back and look at the whole thing. Like, what does that indicate to you? That's not like just like, oh, we'll take a look at what they say and like we'll consider it. No, it's like if you want to ask for more from us in this arrangement, you know, we have to consider the whole thing and what we're actually doing here is what he's saying. And that concerns me. That should be scary. Because as soon as he takes a step back and starts looking at you know, whether or not the deal is one that he likes in total at all, there's a much better chance of it falling through. And if this deal falls through, then everything is on the table.
So I guess the follow-up to that is somebody that read the Q&A. I read that quote, and I guess my interpretation, and maybe this comes from a reader's standpoint of how I feel, and I'm already projecting my emotion into the response. I didn't read it in the same tenor that you just walked it through there, because I think the tough part is if I myself personally am not concerned or not there yet, I'm reading that as like a negotiator who's hearing, oh, okay, we have to renegotiate. And like, I'm not there. I'm not talking to him. You are. Are you getting any sense? Like, what is he like when he's talking about this? Is he calm? Is he measured? Are you getting a sense of like a little FU energy? Because I think that's the tough part from my perspective is I read it and I'm like, oh, okay. But I'm not the one that's talking in front of him or on the phone or whatever it was. And so I'm more kind of curious from your point of view, when you've talked to him about this, how it kind of feels from his end when he's answering some of these questions.
Well, I think there's a frustration. I think there's a frustration on the part of, you know, everybody on his side of the deal. I think there was an expectation, you know, from the Blazers and what this new ownership group was expecting when they bought the team, that this was going to be more or less a buttoned up arrangement by the time the team was bought or by the time the deal closed in March. The state obviously took care of its piece, and that is the big piece of the $600 million package, mm-hmm. the $365 million that the state procured. The city and county are on the hook for the other $200+ million. And so I think the expectation was that once the state took care of its piece, the city and the county were going to be shortly behind. So the fact that this is still being discussed in the terms that it's being discussed, I think is really frustrating and causing some alarm within ownership and within you know, the people who've been negotiating on behalf of the Trailblazers.
Gotcha.
I think, you know, the way that they view this is the city council obviously has, you know, a say in this. I mean, that's the way local government is designed. But the way that this arena deal was sort of constructed was the mayor's office, the governor's office, the county commission, and the Blazers came together and said, this is a deal that everybody can get behind. And but then, of course, that needs to, you know, the governor had to essentially take that to the legislature. The mayor has to take that to the city council, and the county commission president has to take it to the county commission. Everybody has to kind of take care of their own house in that sense. Mm-hmm. And the city and the county are both a little up in the air right now, but the city is kind of where the focus is at the moment. But I think the city council is looking at this as though this is the very beginning of the process. And this is something that has been discussed by the Blazers with the mayor's office, with the city, since before Keith Wilson was mayor in a former charter. So like, this has been something that has been hammered out over a significant amount of time and gotten to this point now where the city council can certainly should scrutinize the deal and should have questions and should look at it closely. But the framework more or less is the framework. And so there are questions to be had about, you know, the actual details of the lease, but the first step is, how are you going to pay for this arena if a lease is negotiated? And that is the piece that, you know, I think people are getting hung up on now. And I guess for me, you know, the way I look at this, like, I think the Blazers and Moda Center are a huge community asset. I think Moda Center needs to be a modern building that attracts events, whether the Blazers are here or not. So you might as well take care of it while the Blazers are here. But I think even beyond that, it just is, this is a $600 million project. The building is owned by the city. And, you know, once this whole thing is completed, the state will have an ownership piece as well. The city is not being asked to carry the load here. The city is being asked to pay, you know, a less than a third of the upfront renovation cost, even though the city is the one that owns the building. I think the city is, I know that this is not going to be a popular opinion with certain people, but I think the city is actually getting a good deal here. Most of the arena renovation is being paid by the income taxes of players, in terms of the state bonding, and then a lot of the city funding is taxed from the sale of the Blazers, and it's the fees on tickets that are collected on Blazer tickets. And for years and years and years, those fees have gone to fund other things in Portland. They have funded the renovation of Providence Park. They've funded renovation of other city-owned facilities. And what the construction of the deal as agreed to, or at least as proposed, is that those dollars that have been essentially made for the city on the backs of the Moda Center and the Trailblazers for 30 years instead now go back into the Moda Center. For years, they've been funding other projects around town. And, you know, I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm doing work for the Trailblazers here, but the reality is that, you know, the Moda Center was privately owned for 30 years. You know, Paul Allen paid for the maintenance, the operations, the ongoing cost of the building. The city paid like $40 million of the original cost of the building. That was for some parking. Otherwise, it was privately paid for and privately financed by Paul Allen and privately maintained for those 30 years. So the city got an extremely good deal for the first 30 years because they didn't have to pay for it. And now when this was sort of the way it was arranged in the original decision to sell the building back to the city for a dollar, like, the city didn't get hoodwinked on that. The city knew what it was doing. And the mindset around the city at the time was sort of, it's our turn. It's our turn to take over the cost and operation of this building. So that was sort of the aspiration of this in the first place. And that's where we are now, where it's like, if it's your turn, then this is how you do it.
Hey, Bill, it's Swag. I'm curious, the women's Final Four is coming in 2030. And I know part of that deal, there were some upgrades that had to be made separate from the Blazers. Is that being taken care of by what is in this proposal? Or if the thing falls apart completely, what is the city or state still on the hook for in terms of improvements for that 2030 Final Four?
Yeah, it's such a great question, Swag. Thanks for bringing that up. So my understanding is that the 2030 Final Four was not awarded on the condition of an upgraded Moda Center. It wasn't a requirement, but an upgraded Moda Center was part of the pitch that Sport Oregon and, you know, the Trailblazers made when they, you know, Rip City Management, I guess I should say, made when they bid on the 2030 Final Four. And, you know, that event corresponds with the timeline of the renovations. If they were to do the renovations over the three summers as proposed, the building would be done in the summer of 2029, and the 2030 Women's Final Four would be sort of this event, this showcase event for Portland, this global event for a renovated Moda Center, but to put the city on display. And I think the idea was, you know, Portland's back. And so if you don't renovate Moda Center and the Blazers aren't here, let's say, right, doomsday scenario, you still have the women's Final Four, but what you lose is the juice of a sort of, you know, being able to show, put your best foot forward as a city and as a venue. So like, yeah, you still have the women's Final Four in 2030, but are you going to get other events? Are you going to get a WNBA All-Star game? Are you going to get an NBA All-Star game? Certainly not if the Blazers are here. But I think that, you know, that the design of this was for that event that you're talking about to be sort of the on-ramp to more great things for Portland. And I think that if Portland falls short of being able to deliver on that, it becomes much more of a standalone event that doesn't have that same, you know, accelerating force for the city and through sports and events.
Bill Orme, our guest here, OregonLive.com is where you can find all his good work. He's getting ready. We got a Eugene Regional. We got local teams attached to this one, which is very unique in its own right. I want to ask you about that. One more. I read the piece on how the Hurricanes fans feel about Tom Dunn and how completely opposite it feels. We've noted as a show, like, some of the stuff and the narrative-based stuff with him being cheap, it ain't great optics, but, like, we haven't overreacted on our show because I don't really have a lot to overreact to. I didn't really care about the T-shirt thing. We've seen staff cuts with new ownership groups before. I know that's a sensitive subject for some, but I haven't seen a whole lot, and we should allow a guy a little more time than to be jumping down his neck. We haven't even had a coach hire yet. What, I guess, of the stuff, and you had a really good piece on it, but, like, what just surprises you the most of being in a city who feels one way about Dunnan versus the ecosystem you are in here locally and how he's been written and talked about?
Yeah, I think that what was most striking was the lack of focus on ownership. You know, like, I mean, certainly people are aware of him and his reputation, but they're excited about the team on the ice. They're excited about, you know, they believe in the coach. They believe in the GM. You know, they love the product. And so everything starts with, we have a great hockey team, and this is the guy who made sure that we have a great hockey team. You know, they don't care that the business operations of the Hurricanes is significantly smaller than most NHL teams and certainly NBA teams. You know, there's an awareness, but not a focus. And I think that, you know, that's the misfortune of the situation here, is that, you know, Dunnan came in and those changes immediately became such a focus before, you know, there's any chance for him to, like you said, do anything, right? Like, there hasn't been a single decision on the basketball side mm-hmm. yet that, you know, impacts the future of this roster. And if the Blazers do somehow become a, you know, make the playoffs eight times in a year, or eight times in a row, and they go to the Western Conference Finals three times in 4 years, like, people are going to be pretty excited about the team. They're going to be a lot less concerned. But I do think that there is a, you know, and I've said this elsewhere, I think, you know, that this is a really challenging fit culturally. You have a really, you know, hard-nosed, sort of presents as unempathetic, you know, Texan mm-hmm. billionaire who made his money, you know, the ways he made his money. And then you're in Portland with, like, you know, with, you know, feelings, for lack of a better term. Like, it's a really clunky fit. It's not a match you would draw up between city and team owner. And I think there's gonna be some real growing pains there, and there have been. You know, Raleigh, a little bit better fit. I mean, it's a really business friendly climate.
Yep.
You know, it was a lot easier for him to get a deal done. I'm gonna have another piece on that. You know, I think he certainly has made his enemies along the way, but ultimately, I think that he's been seen as a really positive addition to the landscape in Raleigh, and we're just not there yet.
Final one for you, man, because we appreciate the time. I know it's a busy day. It's Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark Mania weekend in the WNBA locally. We've got the Eugene Regional about to first pitch in about a little less than 4 hours. We talked with Mike Parker earlier about that one. I'm just kind of curious. We had a Game 7 Saturday. I know it's not a local team, but it's still a Game 7. Just how you balance all the sports on our plate locally and then even from a national perspective.
Well, you left out the most important thing, which is the Wells Guardians 3-4 lacrosse tournament this weekend.
Oh, that's my mistake.
That takes that takes precedent in my life too.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
It's a lot, but it's a good problem to have. I'm going to make my way down to Eugene on the back end of the weekend, assuming this goes the way that I think we assume it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm not going to miss Caitlin Clark at Moda Center tomorrow night. So, you know, but also try to mix in some lacrosse, keep an eye on game seven. You know, really curious to see if the Spurs are able to pull it off. You know, I think that most people assume that the Thunder sneak through, but, you know, having seen the Spurs up close against the Blazers and just feel like Wemby has just gotten stronger and stronger and stronger as the postseason has gone on. I think that Spurs team is an absolute juggernaut. You know, I tweeted this last night, but I think that Dylan Harper is going to be a 10-time All-Star. And I just think that team is, if they're not in the finals this year, it's not going to be long. So, I think we're kind of at, you know, a pretty exciting inflection point in the history of basketball, frankly. But it's going to be a really busy sports weekend, and I'm excited for it. Something to talk about, frankly, Brandon, other than, Tom Dundon, which is welcome, because that has been obviously a dominant topic. And listen, it is an important topic, and you and I can disagree about what the eventual, like, actual, impact is,
mm-hmm.
but this is a really important moment for Portland, and how Portland handles this and how Portland, decides to move forward with the arena, is going to say a lot about the city and our aspiration as a city and our ability to deliver in big moments.
I think that's where we would agree, no matter what your stance is, and you're far more sourced in reporting it than I just given you a thought as a longtime guy who's heard it before. Like, I'm not quite there, but we would agree on this is a big moment for the city. They need to get their head out of their ass. They need to be kind of locked in and focused on how to make this whole relationship really good. So we would agree there. One of my best friends, my wife would probably categorize it as, how are you guys friends? It feels like you talk by arguing. And I would say that's largely right, but we do it from a loving perspective. And I think we are kind of forming a relationship where I'm an annoyance to you, but like for some reason we still get along really well.
Okay.
There we go. He's great. OregonLive.com. Bill Orem, former co-host of the radio program. I don't know if it'll ever happen again, but it was great to talk with him. Go find his great work, OregonLive.com. Enjoy the lacrosse tournament, the Eugene Regional, the Caitlin Clark Mania. Thanks for hopping on with us. We look for more of the great work at OregonLive.com.
I look forward to couples therapy with you later this afternoon, Brandon.
Absolutely. It'll be delightful. I can't wait to unpack all our feelings there. I am from Portland, so I'm one of those people. Went a little long there with Bill Orem. Let's address some of the stuff on the other side. And is Giannis willing to come to Portland? Next on The Fan.
By his word, I have been healed. By his hand, I've been
all right, 8:28. Welcome back in. A delightful little Friday. Swag asked the best question of the interview, damn it. Great question, Jason. I think he wanted more you and less me.
Well,
that's my bad.
That's okay.
That's my bad. Look, it's not a bit. Me and Bill genuinely don't agree on everything.
Yeah.
We text about stuff. We've talked about stuff. He's hosted the show with me.
Oh, yeah.
I read all of his columns.
Yes.
This is just our fork in the road.
Exactly.
And look.
We'll find our way back.
The internet's the internet, right? So, like, he's yeah. I'm not the first person to tell him I'm not really panicked about this. There's a thing with that, and I understand it.
This is where
I disrupted him during yes. morning coffee by telling him I'm not really scared about it.
That's okay.
And that's okay.
We'll go.
We'll be
get,
okay.
Yeah, we need to we invite him. We'll do breakfast after the show.
Well, he
day.
Owes me a coffee date. We had a coffee date months ago. He had a thing. He popped up. He's like, I'll reschedule this. What I would say is this. Where we ended, though, is where we do agree.
Everybody believes.
Get this your is head out of your ass.
If Portland ever wants to be considered for anything sports-related big time down the road, they screw this up. Forget it.
You think you're getting a baseball team but not doing this? You're an idiot. And by the way, welcome to the party, Sacramento. They have a group now that wants to dive into baseball since they've got the River A's.
Yeah.
So you're going to have more West Coast competition for that. And I've never really been I'm not a real big believer we're going to beat Salt Lake in the baseball thing, but like if city council gets their head out of you know what and the funding's there and all's good,
yeah,
maybe it's a little more serious a topic for the city. But right now, I would agree, and I think mostly everybody else in this sports realm would agree on the point of like, dude, take care of the business and let's get this done and move on to other things.
Well, and this is where we're going to find out if the mayor has some juice.
Keith Wilson.
Yes, because this is one where you can play behind the scenes House of Cards politics and go to whatever city council members you need to switch their vote and go, they leave, I'm throwing this all on you.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, emptying the bag.
I think that's already
and
starting.
This is at your feet.
Yeah.
You want this heat? That's what needs to happen behind the scenes.
I think that's already started.
There needs to be strong arming in this case. And there are some times where, yes, politics needs to steamroll to get the result that is in the best interest of the most people. So,
yeah,
I'm all for that in certain situations, and this is one of them.
But I think where you and I are, and a little different here, is I'm not like overly concerned about it. I think it will ultimately get done. And if it isn't, he'll be the last one to get to laugh and say, I told you they were dumb. And we'll go, well, we knew they were dumb, but damn, they took it up a notch.
We didn't think they were this dumb.
Well, I mean, yeah, actually I do. But, you know, that goes up another level.
I ultimately have the belief that somehow, some way, it will get done. It might get messy and scary before you get there. But, yes, I am still of the belief that when faced with the reality of, oh, my goodness, they really could leave, that, yes, somehow at the 11th hour, somehow it will find a way to get done.
Well, I know it might have been a little awkward and uncomfortable radio.
I thought that was
pauses.
Great. That was one of the best balances of information, interview, and awkwardness.
Yeah, and I like being awkward.
Awkward and there's no finding a way through.
Well,
John
I was
Lovitz.
Wondering if that's where it was going to go, but he gave us good information on it. We don't agree on all of the things we're talking about here, but good stuff from Bill Orem. Let's stick with the Blazers because I don't want to just stick on the city funding and the stuff. I want to talk about actual Blazer-related stuff. So this happened yesterday. Coincidentally, this came out. I had somebody text me, should I lay a bet on this? I don't know, man. Check the, what's the, Kaushi Market?
Yes.
Because this guy actually is one of the endorsers of the product. Here is Chris Haynes yesterday. He was on an NBA pod. I'm forgetting the name of it, but I think it's on with Amin El Hassan. Here is Chris Haynes on the team that's mysteriously involved. There's been a mystery team.
Mystery team.
And here's Chris Haynes.
Okay, I've heard Portland has serious interest to get a deal done. And
to acquire
Giannis Antetokounmpo, to potentially bring back the pairing, the all-star pairing of Giannis Antetokounmpo, Damian Lillard.
Okay, we're the mystery team. Should be noted, we know that he's tight with Dame. Should also be noted, I believe he's got a family connection into Giannis. So he's always been a very well-sourced guy. He's worked his entire life to build those sources and done an exceptional job. It's a rare instance where there is connections on both the Blazer
sides.
Front
yeah.
and the Giannis yep. front here. He also added this because part of Giannis, does Giannis want this? All the
yeah, because
he
he's coming
to
up. He's gonna if he goes somewhere and a team's going to have to give up, you know, whatever.
You got an extension you got to get done. Otherwise, you're giving up a lot of stuff.
Exactly, for a short-term rental, and that doesn't make financial sense.
Well, and also the tea leaves are that he wants to be more east because, you know, his family is in Greece. He goes to Greece all the time. Going more west isn't ideal. Is that true? Here's Chris Haynes on Giannis's view of the Blazers.
We can throw 28, 29 teams out there that have interest in Giannis.
Right.
But really, it's about, okay, where, you know, is that interest reciprocated?
Right.
And I do believe if Portland were to come with something really serious, I do believe Giannis will at least consider it. Like this, it wouldn't be a situation where he would just, throw it in the trash. Nah, I think this would be a situation that he would consider if the legs are enhanced.
How do you view the term he would consider? How do you view this? From somebody pretty plugged in this specific story.
I would view that if the Bucks were comfortable with the package that the Blazers were putting on the table,
would have no reason to believe they wouldn't. It involves their pick swaps and
that,
a young player in
Shaden. What Chris is telling me, Giannis and his people will sit down with the Blazers to seriously talk about what an extension looks like, what the team looks like. There would actually be a serious discussion. Whether or not it got done or not, that's fine.
You're not making that trade unless you have an assurance from an agent of we're signing the deal.
Yeah, what's Giannis looking for? How long are you looking for?
Because Cronin did that with Jeremy Grant. There was a wink and a nod of like, we'll trade for you, bring you here. Now, he gave a contract that many thought, oh, man, that's a lot. I don't believe this organization operates in a space of let's just risk it all and hope we can convince him.
I think what Chris Haynes is telling me is if Milwaukee goes to Giannis and say, hey, we've got an offer from Portland that works for us, will you talk to them?
Dude, if he...
And he'll sit down and talk to him seriously.
Talk about a little bit of a narrative flip here. Now, I think when you talk about funding and you talk about cheapness, like you get a bit of a polarization here in some capacity, right? It's I'm worried about this guy. I don't like this guy. What's this guy's MO? He's been telling you all along, I'm cheap and I want to win. Talk about a narrative flip for a reputation. If he hires a coach of note, a Tiago Splitter, he gets a Jeff Van Gundy. All right, well, there's the whole... Nobody will work for him. He only hires people for $800,000. Like, that narrative's gone. If he gets the city council or they get the funding from the city council and the county and then they add in the state money and the renovation money is there and you get Giannis, boy, you go from being like the guy everybody wants to make fun of and come up with nicknames like Tommy Two Nickels to holy crap, dude. The funding's there. The renovation's happening. You got a serious coach. Oh, my gosh. You've got a roster piece that, I mean, I'm not really sure it's even remotely close. It'd be the biggest acquisition in franchise history. Now, will it pay off the way Scotty did and get you to a West Finals? I don't know about that. But, dude, if we're talking caliber of player and what it would mean, like, that's the biggest acquisition of your franchise's history.
Yes.
So, it'd be quite a narrative flip for old Tommy D if they pulled that kind of trade-off.
Yeah. And... It would, you know, obviously from a basketball standpoint and certainly terms short term.
Do you want it?
I would be down. I'd want to see how much they're giving up. What do you have left?
I mean, picks, Shaden and Jeremy.
Yeah.
I have to assume that's
if
the deal.
That's it.
Because you need the money to work and then you got to give them their stuff back.
Yeah. If that's all you're giving up and to take a crack at... And you can somehow keep Rob Will out of the deal?
You know, the interesting... Well, Rob Will is... I think he's a free agent, isn't he?
He is, but...
Here's the interesting thing.
I don't know
about the
if
picks.
There's nothing left for him after you do that deal that he has to go somewhere else because you don't have any cap room left.
So the Board of Governors agreed to the 3-2-1 tanking proposal, anti-tanking?
Yep.
Did you see the Grizzly thing on that? The Grizzly pick?
Yeah, they're hosed.
The controversy. So
that's why they were the only no vote.
Well, it's a fascinating conversation of, like, why picks aren't grandfathered in before you just randomly took this up as a big deal and then changed the rules of it. I'm with the Grizzlies on the vote and how it all kind of went down here because their 27 pick for Utah, it can't be top five.
Yeah.
You can't have it in three straight years. They've already had it in two. So that pick now doesn't look so good. I'm kind of wondering this with Milwaukee, like, their pick swap stuff. If Portland's going in to win, is their pick? I mean, you can't be in the top five multiple 3 years in a row. So, like, what did the pick stuff mean now? It's very interesting how this new anti-taking proposal is going to be viewed with lottery picks.
I think we'll have to look at that once we see this NBA offseason play out.
Because I have this right? Like, the team can't be in the top five for three straight years.
Correct.
It's only two. So, if Milwaukee sucks next year because they traded Giannis, we would agree, okay, maybe a top five pick. Are they going to be good this second year after? I don't know if I'd gamble that.
Like, who knows?
When you start to get to these picks, when do they not cash into the top five? But that's a different conversation for a different day. I just wanted to point out that a guy very connected to Dame and Giannis, simply pointing out Giannis not dismissing the idea of Portland. I still don't know if that's really going to happen. I don't know if I'm putting a lot of eggs in that basket, but fascinating to hear that he's kind of interested in it. A lot more to get into. It is 8:39 on Portland Sports Leader 105.1, The Fan. Well, we stopped Mike Parker in Junction City. I think I ruined slightly Bill Orme's morning coffee. What can I do to Nick Krupke today? We'll take a 3-for-3 trifecta attempt at doing something. Can I make him realize how broke youth sports is making all of us as parents? He's participating.
He's
in
participating.
This too.
He should know.
He's got four of them.
I know.
I got two and I feel broke.
Yeah.
But we'll talk with Nick Krupke. It is Caitlin Clark. Angel Reese weekend.
You got a big weekend there. The Thorns will play their final game before the World Cup break this weekend.
Hot and thorny. Yep, we got the WNBA.
And then you got the Eugene Regional.
I know. We'll talk with Nick Krupke coming up at 9 a.m. I got NFL OTA audio.
Yeah.
Did that yesterday.
We did some of that yesterterday. We got a few more today.
We got a few more today. We got this.
Do you need a ride to the airport?
I actually do.
Next time Dirt leaves.
Do you need a ride to the airport?
As the creepiest way to ask somebody if they need a ride. We'll get to NFL OTA audio here in just a moment. Like, I know Giannis is a debatable figure. It's polarizing. I don't even know what's right anymore. You could slow build this thing and be like, well, you know, we're 5 seed next year at best and see where you're at 2 years. Like, I just I love teams that are willing to take on the chance. And I understand the new owner syndrome thing that Golliver mentioned earlier this week. So I posted a poll question. Your neighborhood restaurant group brings a fan poll question on Twitter every day and dinner tonight. One of the five locations, Sandy O's, Big's Chicken, Reverend's Barbecue, 808 Hawaiian, and Lorehurst Market Steakhouse. It's basically as simple as this, ladies and gentlemen. For the final time, because I will not ask this anymore, do you want the Blazers to take a swing for Giannis? Yes or no at Dirt and Sprague? That simple. You could say yes, you could say no, you could say tell me to go F myself. I don't know what you're going to do, but you can vote accordingly.
Is that an option?
It wouldn't be the first time somebody said that to me.
Tell Sprague to F himself.
We'll talk with Nick Krupke coming up here at the top of the hour. Let's get to some NFL OTA audio. Ow. Do we want to do it? Yeah, we'll do it now. Let's do NFL OTA audio.
Yeah. Are we going to Sprague the line?
What are we spraying the line on? Game 7 WNBA?
Eugene Regional.
Can you find the lines for that?
There are lines on them.
Yeah. I should have did that earlier. You can send spraying line sponsors in. I'll have to check the text line in the next break, see if we start getting any in. 503-864-6326. Let's start in L.A., where I'm still not convinced you're a Charger fan. It takes time. It takes passion. It takes energy. You're barely a Dodger fan. So here's the Justin Herbert missed a couple weeks of workouts with the team.
He was on tour with his honey.
Madison Beer. I mean.
And why wouldn't you
be? Is anybody blaming him for that? No. Here's Jim Harbaugh, Justin Herbert's return. And he's come back from the Herbert the Pervert tour with Madison Beer. Here's Jim Harbaugh on having Justin Herbert back.
So excited. And I was happy, you know, went to support Madison on her music tour. Madison supports him at the football games. And he told me he wasn't going to be here for those two weeks. And my first reaction was, do you need a ride to the airport? You know, he's just been somebody that he's just here all the time. I mean, there's times I've wanted to shoo him out of the building. He's at every voluntary, every non-voluntary workout. I'm the same guy that broke his hand and then he was here the next day practicing the next game, stiff arming guys. I was happy, good balance. Do you need a ride to the airport?
Just a great all-time line by an NFL coach. Can you imagine that?
Do you need a ride to the airport?
Just a guy so in love with his quarterback.
If there was have they announced the Hard Knocks? Did I miss? Is Hard Knocks been announced for this?
Isn't it Seattle?
Is it? I'm asking. I honestly have not paid attention.
I haven't watched Hard Knocks in a couple years. I thought it was Seattle.
Mike McDonald, Harbaugh, Herbert. Maybe Madison Beer is hanging out by then.
Yeah, it's the Seahawks.
Oh, it's the Seahawks.
Yeah, you're going to be defending champs on Hard Knocks because they no longer have the stipulation of you had to miss the playoff thing. They're just best possible storyline. They're going to go the defending champions. You've never found a coach more in love with a quarterback, and I think Andy Reid loves him some Patrick Mahomes.
He does love him some Patrick Mahomes.
But I don't know if Andy Reid is saying this at the podium.
Do you need a ride to the airport?
Like, he's willing to be the Uber for Herbert to go on tour and miss voluntary workouts. I'll tell you this. If, big if here, If they go into week one with Slater and Ault healthy.
Healthy, yeah. They got Derwin James signed.
I'm picking them. And I know, laugh at me later, make fun of the Herbert playoff record. I'm with you, but Harbaugh, still a believer. You got McDaniel now at the OC.
So excited to see what that offense
still have questions about their wide receiver position.
Yes.
But I think the running game is going to be better. And if those tackles are healthy and he's not getting his hand broken.
He's not running for his life every third play.
I think it makes a world of difference. So I'm really liking what's going on in L.A. Let's go to Baltimore. We got a quarterback kind of waiting for an extension on a contract. It's kind of an underlying storyline.
This is
here.
Such a weird thing because he doesn't have a traditional agent either.
He doesn't have an agent. It's him and his
mom. I don't know how that makes things. It stuff doesn't run smoothly when it comes to the contracts with
him.
Well,
former Chargers DC Jesse Minter now is the head coach of Baltimore. They've moved on. John Harbaugh's in New York. And here's Lamar on kind of starting anew in Baltimore in a way.
New coach, new OC, different new guys in positions. So everything is just new, basically, size upstairs, you know. But coaching staff is just new, and I can say it's a breath of fresh air because everything is just new.
Yeah, and we'll have to kind of wait and see, I guess, on the contract extension. I'd imagine he's going to ultimately get it. I'm excited. I think they're going to be better than they were last year, and they were sniffing around the playoffs last year despite not having a great year. A lot of turnover problems early in the year. Derrick Henry specifically was fumbling. You know, you have a down year every once in a while. Joe Burrow's gone through it.
Yeah.
I think the defense for Baltimore is going to get back to a nasty level. I believe in Minter. And now it's more about what Lamar and the offense can end up doing this
year. I think that was a case where they started to outthink the room a little bit rather than just, we have Derrick Henry, we have Lamar Jackson.
There was weird stuff at the end of the year where he was getting like 11 carries. And I'm like, why?
How complicated do you need to make this?
You don't need to make it that
complicated. Let's make sure our offensive line knows what they're doing and we have good, you know. And that's a team where you want as close to a 50-50 balance. The difficulty in playing defense against them is, who's getting the ball on any particular play? Like we have to, as opposed to, okay, I know, you know, Josh Allen is going to be deciding where this thing goes 80% of the time. You don't know necessarily, okay, if Henry gets it, how are they going to get it to him? If Lamar rolls out, is he going to keep it? Is he going to throw it?
That offense is so boom or bust at times. And whether that's Lamar's fault to people or something else, it just had moments where it was like, oh, my God, they're unstoppable. And then had other moments like, they can't do anything.
Like, that's one where it's like, let's just have a formation and a package. And how comfortable is Lamar going up, reading the defense, and calling a play at the line of scrimmage, as opposed to we're going to set these plays up, you know, to run because we're going to scheme our way into first downs.
I'm a big Lamar guy. I think everybody listening to the show knows that about me. I want, you know, an ideal world, him and Allen get a ring. My team gets a ring, right? Like everybody gets a ring that I like, but you don't know if that's going to be the case. I'll say this, of all the franchise quarterbacks, like the established ones, we put him in the elite tier. And I think rightfully so. It's far and away the most odd, complicated view of a franchise quarterback in an organization. It feels like everybody else with one of these, just deal done.
Yeah.
Like it was just announced like a couple days ago. Stafford extension. What? Oh, okay. Yeah. Josh Allen extended. Patrick Mahomes lifetime deal. Like it's always weird with them.
Have they put something on the table?
I'm sure they have. But to your point, like it's just an odd back and
forth
between them. Final one. Let's go to DC. This is a really interesting team as we get closer and closer to camp.
This is, I think, one of the biggest mystery teams where you could make a case that they could go 12-5 and win the division, or you could make a case that they're
7-win team,
6-11, and
right,
it falls apart.
DC, where it did not end well or go well for Jaden Daniels year two.
It left a bitter taste in my mouth from last year and just how everything played out. So you kind of just go in that off season and just figure out ways to mentally get better physically and emotionally and everything. So I was just going out there and just, you know, kind of just staying out the way and just focus on what I could focus on, control what I could control.
He missed 10 games last year. He got banged up. They were terrible. Their defense sucked. They've lost their OC, so they've revamped some stuff. They still have Dan Quinn. To me, it feels like more people are leaning on what last year was than maybe throwing back in, like, because Dirt's betting the Cowboys, for example. He's like, who's in the division? It's like, well, the Eagles are still there. He doesn't buy it. Okay, I get it. The Giants, I don't know if the Giants are ready to pop. Are they going to have a locker room issue now with this whole political thing? That team is kind of just, yeah. They were in the NFC Championship game 2 years ago. They had a bad year. He got hurt. I don't know if he'll stay healthy, but they're a fascinating storyline going into the league. I think, to your point, one of the more under-the-radar teams as well.
That's a team I want to watch early in the season. It's like, okay, what is, you know, can they recapture that form of 2 years ago? And it was just some injuries and some weird things that derailed
some
stuff
last
year.
Some things went their way, though, in the first
year.
Or
was the first year just totally fluky?
A Hail Mary went their way, right? The Monday game against, or Thursday, whatever it was, against Cincy. Some things went their favor, but last year
there's
certainly
still questions about Dan Quinn as a head coach overall.
Oh, sure. Like, what's his ceiling? Is he a guy that can truly get you over the top? He's come close, but he hasn't. So a little check-in on some NFL OTAs. Probably have more next week. Let's get to the final hour. Nick Kroepke. It's Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, Mania Weekend.
How does he manage? He's a
sports
director for a station. He's got broadcasts coming.
He's
for
the lead
the
host
Fire
of Rose City Net. We've got the Eugene Regional. And are we being ripped off as sports dads? We'll talk about all that. Nick Kroepke, final hour on The Fan.